grace we draw near to the cross, to our Lord and Savior. We'll sing one more. This is not in the book, so you'll have to watch on the screen. This is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, forever mine. You are forever mine. Good morning. Good to see everybody on a beautiful morning, about 50 degrees warmer than a week ago. So praise the Lord for that. And just a nice light snow coming down. So welcome. And we got the Cherub Choir going to be singing for us in a little bit, which we're excited to have that. Certainly. Couple announcements that I need to go over. First, coffee hour we have after church today in the social hall, so hopefully you're able to join us for that. Some coffee and cookies and goodies, and most of all, a time of fellowship. Christian Education Committee will also meet after church, and we'll plan to meet down in the high school Sunday school room, okay? The marriage seminar, that's this afternoon starting at 4:30. If you didn't sign up, you forgot, and you still would like to come, if you let me know right after church, I think we can get you in there. It's from 4:30 to approximately 8:30, probably a little before that. We'll be done. Supper is roasted pork chop and cheesy potatoes, salad, dessert. So let me know on that. One thing that is not in the bulletin, regarding the bulletin board out there in the social hall, I sure always enjoy looking at it each month, and thank you to the ones that take turns, but we need some more people willing to take turns. Nobody has signed up for March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So, okay, thank you. The most immediate need would be March, right? So there is a sign-up sheet on the information cabinet out here if you'd be willing to do it. Maybe some moms and your kids, or could be dads too as far as that goes. But it really is fun to look at and helps brighten up the social hall. So please, something else that I'm going to mention, if you were at the annual meeting, you know we talked about redoing the tile floor throughout the social hall, Sunday school wing, couple rooms here, upstairs, and that was approved. The consistory went ahead and approved that, so we're planning for that this summer. It's a big project on Palm Sunday, which is a month away, March the 28th. Well, that offering that day will be received for this project. So just so you're aware of that and can be thinking about it. Last announcement for now is regarding the Menno Olivet Community Easter Cantata. We are planning to go forward with that. God willing, we can do it. The first practice is this Friday at Zion Reformed Church. Practices are at 7, and you see the rest of the list in the bulletin. So we hope we have a good turnout. We are the host church for it this year. We were last year. We had, I think, 2 practices in, and then everything came to a screeching halt. But so we're trying it again. So let's have a good turnout of voices. It'll be a lot of fun. The rest of the announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, for this day that you have made. We do rejoice in it, and we are glad. We're glad, Lord God, to be here today in this sanctuary, in your presence. For in your presence is truly fullness of joy. No other place we would rather be than with our brothers and sisters in Christ, together worshiping you and sitting at your feet, singing our praises before your throne with all the host of heaven. And that is our desire today. And as always, Lord God, we ask for you to fill this sanctuary with your goodness and your glory and your power, that you move among us. Lord, as you know every need here today, whether it is physical, emotional, spiritual, whether it's a financial need, whether it's regarding a job, whatever it is, Lord, we lift those up to you. And thank you for moving in our midst and touching lives as you do so wonderfully by the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our opening hymn is Fairest Lord Jesus. Let's stand, please, as we sing this together. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, the Son. Thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the world. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of all the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise and adoration, now and forevermore be thine. Amen. What a beautiful hymn. Beautiful singing. Aren't you glad that Jesus is Lord of the nations? He is Lord of all. Amen. Well, before you're seated, however you're comfortable, giving an air high five or whatever, you can do that, please. All right. Oh. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. This morning, first of all, I have a note from Terry Seiler to read to you. She says, my tumors are getting smaller, praise God. And that's all in capital letters. Amen. She says, thanks for all the support and help. But most of all, the prayers, they are working. With love, Terry Seiler. So praise the Lord. Thank you for that, Fred. Amen. A couple other things I have down here. First, with some new babies. This Jenna and Derek Fisher. So that Jenna is Willard and Darlene Gehring's granddaughter. And her husband, Derek, he's been over in Africa in the National Guard. The Red Cross was able to get him home because there was sort of a serious situation going on for a little bit. So he's back, and she had a little baby girl this week named Gabriella Mabel on Wednesday. And, of course, Robert and Kristen Heckenleibel, I announced last week, oh, is the baby here? Okay, so praise the Lord. She had Bria Kathleen, that was a week ago, on February 11th, her first Sunday in church. Awesome and exciting. Some other things here. First, prayers for Eugene Weidenbach. He is in the VA hospital, was taken up there, I think, on Tuesday, was losing blood, passing blood, and they haven't been able to get that stopped. Don't feel that he can withstand a surgery. If you don't know, he did turn 100 in December, has done amazingly well. So he is on hospice care there at the VA. So be praying for Eugene and Lorraine and the family during this time. And then for Phyllis Whale, this is Randy's wife, would be Jennifer Masterson's mother. She was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia this last week, which was certainly not what they were hoping for. She's supposed to go up to Sioux Falls this Wednesday and start treatment. Probably will be up there for a month, the way it sounds, are the plans for right now. Okay, anything else? No? Well, then let's pray. How about back here? Justin Plooster. This last Friday was Luke's 11th birthday. All right, happy birthday, Luke, if he's wherever he's at. Right back there. Okay. Anybody else over here? Okay, how about over here? Yeah, Jane. Alicia has a birthday this coming Friday. Happy birthday, Alicia. Yes, Jackson. Alora's birthday is when? Tomorrow. Alora Wilcoxon's, is that second? Birthday is tomorrow. Okay, happy birthday to her. All right. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice again in you. With Fred and Terry Seiler, Lord, just thank you from all of our hearts, thank you for your power at work there, of even the tumor behind the eye gone, and the one in the back of the brain gone, and the other one's shrinking. We just thank you for your power at work in her body, throughout her being, Lord. We praise you for it. Lord, there's many other situations as well that we have to lift up for you. And certainly we pray for Phyllis and Randy Whale as she goes to start treatment this coming Wednesday for the leukemia. We pray for wisdom to the doctors and for whatever the course of treatment, that you help that to work well, along with your healing power that we know is greater than all. We pray for Eugene Weidenbach, Lord, here 100 years old, our World War II veteran, such a life you've given him. And Lord, we know that you are the one who numbers each of our days. And we thank you for just holding him and Lorraine in your everlasting arms and comforting them, letting your peace rule in their hearts during this time, and their family too, Lord. We just surround them with our prayers. Thank you, Father, for Jimmy Whale in the situation there, for being mightily at work, and so many others. Lord, I pray for Tyler and Heidi Ulmer down in Missouri, as Heidi was in an accident yesterday and broke some ribs. So we pray for her and ask for your healing touch to her body, and Tyler with his foot, as there was an accident there a week ago as well. Lord, you're aware of all of these situations. You know us inside and out. We thank you for the new babies being born, to Kristen and Robert Heckenleibel, and Bria, her first Sunday here in church. And we just praise you for your goodness and blessings to them, for Jenna and Derek Fisher as well, that the delivery went good and that Derek was able to be back here for that as he serves in the Guards. And we thank you, Lord, on that note, as we pray always for our troops. Daily we lift them up, whether they're serving here at home within our country, whether they're serving around the world in various places. We ask you to give your angels charge over them, to guard and keep them in all of their ways. And we pray for our nation, Lord Jesus, thanking you by faith for the moving of your Spirit across this land to turn hearts to you and to your word. We do pray for our president and vice president and for all of Congress, that you direct them by your Spirit, Heavenly Father, as we stand upon the promise of your word that says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whithersoever way you will, even as you turn the rivers of water. And we know that you do. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, for eyes and hearts and minds being opened to the truth of your word. As we do that, Lord, we pray as well for those that are lambing and calving right now. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Lord, we pray your blessing upon these little ones being born, the calves, the lambs, and thank you for strength and safety to all that are dealing with it. For our highway workers that have to be out on the roads in the snow working long hours, keep them safe, we pray, as they're doing that. And Lord, for we have several little ones within the womb yet, within the congregation, and you know who they each are. And we thank you for the amazing work that you do, knitting these little ones together in the secret place, as only you can do. We thank you for giving these mothers the strength through the term and time of their pregnancies. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12, as we prepare to give thanks. Of course, our offering box, you all know, is in the back there. But this says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you." Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And Father, we do praise you. Thank you for the strength and life and health that you give to us, that even allows us to be able to go to work each morning or evening or whatever the shift might be. You are our source, our provider, our God and our Father. So we give the first fruits to you with joyful hearts, thanking you for saving us and delivering us and being our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are going to have the cherub choir sing now. And this is three-year-olds through the third grade. And Ann Ramos and Deb Schmidt work with this choir. Thank you so much. So if you want to come on up. Thank you. Okay, you can sit down. We're going to have Kingdom Kids. If there's any other kids that want to come down, they sure can. Thank you, Ann and Deb and the Sunday school teachers for all your help, for all their enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You did great, you all. That was awesome. Now what you can do is, do you want to see what you look like later? Do you want to watch yourself singing that song? Well, when you go home later this afternoon or early this evening, you ask your parents to look on YouTube or on our church's website, and the service should be on there. And then you can see yourself. Would that be cool? Yeah, that is cool, right? That is definitely cool. All right. Let me just put this stuff up here. It's falling. What do I have here? What is this? It's a calendar. What does the calendar tell us? What day it is. So what are all these? Days of the week. Let's say them together. Do you know them? Tuesday. Very good. And what month are we in? We are in February. So what do you think then? What day would you say that we should go to church? Sunday. That's this day right here. That's a good day to go to church. How about what days do you think you should go to school? It's a tricky question. Good. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I thought I was going to get some little remarks like, never. You guys would never say that though, would you? Never. So those are the days that we could, you know, go to school. Here's the day we go to church. What day do you think that you could, like, go over to your friend's house or have your friends come over? Saturday. That's a good day for that. Okay, now I have a little tricky question here. What day of the week do you think that you should help others?
Every day.
Every day. Very good. Does it matter whether it's Sunday or Saturday or Tuesday or Wednesday? No, it doesn't matter. What are some of the nice things you could do for someone? How could you help them?
Do nice things to them.
Do nice things to them. What kind of nice things? You could play with them, right. Could you, go ahead, help around the house. Did you have a new baby to help with? Yeah, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Yes. You could help them if they fall down? Eat their pizza so their mom doesn't yell at them for eating their lunch, for not eating their lunch. I see. That's a good one. There's lots of ways we could help our parents, our friends. How about, is there just a certain day that you should love people, like what God tells us? How about make their bed? That would be a good one. Yeah, we could do all kinds of these fun things. Well, you know what? Jesus said the same thing. Jesus helped people every day of the week. And our story today is in Luke. And you know what? There was a woman there that was crippled. She couldn't even stand up straight. In Luke 13, verses 10 on down for a few verses. It says, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman there had been crippled for 18 years. She was crippled over. She couldn't stand up for 18 years. It's even hard for you to think of being 18, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, I know. Well, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and he said, woman, you are set free from this sickness. And guess what? She was healed right then. She got right up. Jesus was showing love to her, wasn't he, and helping her. And that's a good thing, right? Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
Are you all listening? Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
There we go. That was a good thing. But you know what? Some people got kind of mad at him. They told Jesus that you should not do this. 6 days there are to work, but on the Sabbath, you should not do that. What do you think Jesus said? He said, every day is a good day to love others and help others. And that's for us to know too. Every single day, we want to love who first? Love God and love each other. And we do that by helping them, right? Okay, so now don't forget, certain days we do certain things, but every day we love and we help others. Okay? All right, let's pray. Fold your hands, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Father, we worship you and love you, and we thank you. Every day is a day that you love us and that you help us to help those around us and to help us love them. We thank you that we will remember that when we go to Monday, whether we go to daycare or preschool or school or work or we're at home, wherever we're at, help us to remember that is the day to do those things, to love others and help others. I ask you to bless these boys and girls, help them to bless others this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, you can get your papers.
Thank you, Anne. Say, Austin, do you have that paper with you? You want to come down quick, please? I forgot about that earlier. We just wanted, I asked one of the FCA kids to give a thank you to the church here. The congregation is always so great about helping with what goes on there. So Austin is going to do that. Please. Hold it close.
On behalf of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Meadow High School, I would like to say thank you to Salem Reformed Church for your support over the years. We enjoy meeting throughout the school year on the first and third Wednesday evenings of each month. We have a large group of 8th through 12th graders that show up for games, a Bible lesson, and of course a delicious snack at the end. I would like to invite you to our spring FCA banquet that is coming up on Sunday evening, March 21st at 6 p.m. Thanks again for your support and prayers as we travel through our high school years.
Thank you, Austin. All right, so if you didn't get that, and I think it's in the bulletin, the FCA banquet is a month from today, from tonight. We're having the chaplain of the SDSU Jackrabbits, TJ Carlson, is going to be our speaker for that evening. And if you haven't looked, look at the picture on the bulletin board out here when you're leaving. That is of the FCA, sort of was behind getting this In God We Trust sign put up in our new gym. And so there's a picture there of a bunch of the FCA kids. All right, so thank you. Let's bow our heads, please, once more. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is our life. Your word, the very living word of God, inerrant, infallible. And you speak to us. It is authoritative, and we thank you for it, Lord. So as we sit here, help us to focus our minds upon you and your word as it's being presented, that we can hear from you this day. And I ask, Lord, that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, that my words would not just be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but may they be by the demonstration and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke 14, what Ann talked about was in Luke 13. We're in Luke 14 here. I'm going to read just the first six verses this morning. It says this, one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say. Amen. It's as far as we'll go on this today. Why did I choose this? Well, different reasons. For the last month, for sure, I've been on the theme of We Preach Jesus. So we've been looking in the early church in the book of Acts. And what did they do in the midst of the hard times that they faced? They preached Jesus as Lord. They preached Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And that is what they did. And so as we're entering in the season of Lent, we're going to walk with him. How do we learn about him other than walk with him? And how do you walk with him other than through the Gospels? That's the best way to do it. We look towards the cross. So in Luke 14 here, he's just a couple months away from the cross at this point in the Gospel of Luke. And he knows it. He knows what's coming up. We see in the end of chapter 13 is one of the places where we see his sorrow for Jerusalem, because by and large they have rejected him. In chapter 13, the very end, this is what he's saying as he's standing probably on the Mount of Olives, looking down on the city. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. How sad, right? Those of you that have chickens and all that, you know how it works. There's several examples in the Old Testament that talk about that. Even Psalm 91, under his wings you shall take refuge. There's safety there. For the little chicks that don't go under the wings, danger, because the predator's waiting and snatch them right away. So Jesus is saying, I long to gather you under my wings, under my hand of protection, but you were not willing. Now this, if we go over to chapter 19 of Luke, which I'm not going to go there, but that's on Palm Sunday when Jesus is on the Mount of Olives and he weeps over the city of Jerusalem because he knows judgment is coming. So how do they get to this place? When we think about the Pharisees and the majority of the people in Israel at that time, how did they get to this point? That's your number one if you're filling in blanks, okay? How did they get to this point of having God in their midst, in the flesh, not recognizing him, rejecting him above all things? The problem was, letter A, they were so focused on their system that they had built that they couldn't see God. They were so religious, they were, but they were so focused on this system that they had built. They couldn't see him. They were focused on the wrong thing. It even got to the point where they thought, the Pharisees thought, that Jesus was actually an agent of Satan. Can you imagine? We see that in Matthew 12. It says, when he had cast a demon out of a man. And they, what did they say about that? That's only by Beelzebub. Beelzebub was one of the evil spirits that was named. The prince of demons, that this fellow Jesus drives out demons. That's how he's doing this. And that's how blinded they were. So how did they get to this point? The Pharisees, your letter B there, the Pharisees. So I don't know that I've ever really brought this out. If I have, it's been long ago. Where did the Pharisees come from, really? How did they rise to prominence and power and influence in Israel? That's important to know, to see what's happening here in this scripture and most of the Gospels. It was actually during those 400 silent years, so we talked, that's not your date yet, but from Malachi to John the Baptist, we call those the 400 silent years, where there was no prophetic voice in Israel. So in the year, here's your blank, 160 BC, 160 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the Romans and Greeks, the major forces on the planet at that time. Remember, the Romans were building these roads. Just last Sunday, I mentioned that one road going from Rome to today, present Istanbul, Turkey. 700 miles, they were building that road in 145 BC. So their influence, it was reaching out the known world at that time. And what was happening to the Jewish people living there? They were slipping over into the paganism of the Greek and Roman culture. We all went to school, learned Greek and Roman mythology, right? That was big in this era and even beyond. So they were influencing the Jews. They were being pulled out away from the Old Testament teachings, pulled away from that, and going into the culture of the world in which they lived. Sound familiar? We always have to resist that, whatever age we're living in. So the Pharisees rose to power in this time, and starting out, their intentions were actually good. That's why they had the synagogues in every little village. They had Pharisees that would teach in the synagogues. They were teaching the people the Old Testament. That was their plan. We get them to learn the Old Testament, bring it to their language where they had access to it, and they will follow it. They were actually praying for a type of reformation at that time. And they were very good at it. And it was working. It was like this grassroots level of a reformation 160 years before Jesus. The only problem was, as time went on, they were so concerned about keeping their people from breaking the Ten Commandments that they began to add on all these other laws to the Ten Commandments. In other words, remember the Sabbath day. That's the fourth command, right? By keeping it holy. Okay, let's say this is that command right here. We'll just say, they'd have to make five other rules, sort of like fences, to put around the fourth command. Okay, let's put a fence here, 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 so we can do everything possible to keep the people from breaking that command. And they ended up, I was actually looking it up this week, if you'd sort of Google that, they ended up with, just for that fourth commandment, 39 categories, 39. I'm not just saying 39 rules, I'm saying 39 categories that all have several rules under those of why work was prohibited on the Sabbath day. To the extent of, some of them are crazy. One, if you had a fire going, you could not even yet, they had crude like toothpick things too, right? You couldn't throw that toothpick in the fire because that's work. Even bringing it up to today for the Orthodox Jewish people, and I'm not knocking at people, okay? I'm just saying how this got to where it was at the time of Christ. Of course, you can't do any work on the Sabbath. That means you cannot cook. So even today I was reading, let's say if you wanted something hot on the Sabbath to eat, of course you prepared it the day before, but how do you warm it up? Because you can't turn the stove on because that is work. So if you had a gas stove on Friday night when the Sabbath started, you could turn that on the lowest flame. And then they even would have covers that you put over those knobs, so in case you forget, you don't turn that knob. But you leave that flame going through the night, and then you can set something on there. So you've heard me tell about Israel when we were there, right? The elevator, the Shabbat elevator on Saturday. There was one elevator in there that would stop on every single floor. Because pushing the button to stop is work. That's how ridiculous this all became and still is. Legalistic. They had become so legalistic. All right, so Roman numeral 2, let's get over to here. The meal, all right? The meal. Verse 1, it says, listen to this again. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. The Amplified would add in there, hoping to entrap him. They had a plan for this day when they invited him on the Sabbath out to lunch. We don't know the name of the village. We don't know the name of this Pharisee. We're told he was a prominent one. So could he have been the ruler of the synagogue in that village? Yeah, he could have been. He could have been a higher level Pharisee even that happened to be there. There was more than one of them, but this was a gathering, probably same as what we like to do. They would have the service in the morning at the synagogue, and then they would have lunch afterwards, which had to go by all the rules. Same as we like to go out to lunch or have lunch after church too, right? But it was a gathering of the elite. There was more than just this one Pharisee there, because if you look at verse 3, it's when Jesus is asking this question, it says he asked the Pharisees, plural, and experts, plural, in the law. So, they are sitting down with God himself in the flesh. What we would all dream of. And when are we going to get to enjoy that? The marriage supper of the Lamb, right? Yeah, we will sit down to that supper one day, and it will be glorious. But here we go, the trap. Letter A is the trap, okay? Verse 2. So there in front of him, Jesus, was a man suffering from dropsy. All right, this guy that had the dropsy, he was only there as a prop, and I'll tell you more why that's true. Only as a prop to try and trick Jesus into breaking their Sabbath law as they thought it should be kept. What's dropsy? It is a severe case of edema. Edema is water retention. We know about it today, right? So that's what dropsy, you wouldn't think of it, right? You'd think it'd be something far different by the way the word sounds. But dropsy or edema in itself is not a disease. It's the result of a disease. What? Congestive heart failure. We hear of that a lot, don't we? Maybe some of you sitting in here have deal with that. What happens? The body builds up with fluid, doesn't it? The cavities, whether it's on the lungs or wherever, and could be caused by, like I said, congestive heart failure, could be caused with kidney failure, buildup of the fluid. So that's what this guy had. Full of fluid, which can be dangerous, right? Very dangerous. The deal is, this condition, the Pharisees considered anyone that had dropsy to be unclean because they felt at that time it was caused by a sexual sin. So here, do you think the Pharisees would allow this unclean man in to eat with them normally? They would never allow that. Never allow him in there. It's all a total setup. And so we see their hypocrisy. They, the Pharisees, who think it's their job to keep their people from breaking the laws to the extreme extent it becomes all legalism and bondage on the people. What? Number one, they're bringing this unclean man in, breaking their own law. And secondly, they're setting up Jesus to break their own law of the Sabbath. That's how it goes, isn't it? What's the question? Letter B. The question then that Jesus asked them in that verse 3, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? They remained silent. Nothing to say. Why? Probably various reasons. I think because they wanted him to break their law. They wanted him to do that. That's why they had this set up. Was this the only time in the Gospels where we see this happening? No, it's not. I found three others, just quickly looking. There's, I'm sure, more than this. What, in Luke chapter 6, he was in a different synagogue teaching on the Sabbath, and this was a time there was a man in there with a shriveled right hand, and Jesus heals him right there on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, furious that he did that. Another time, what Ann talked with the kids about, Luke 13. In the synagogue on a Sabbath, this woman crippled over for 18 years, and he sets her free, healed instantly, completely. And that's when they go back to that fourth commandment. They tell their own people, there are 6 days where you can come and be healed. So come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath. That'd be like saying, okay, you got 6 days you can come or call for prayer, but on Sunday, when we're all gathered in here for worship, nobody's allowed to ask for prayer. Got it? That's the rule. Could you imagine? It'd be silly, wouldn't it? But that's how extreme this had become. John chapter 9, another time in a different village. That's when Jesus heals this blind man. He spits in the ground, makes clay, puts it on his eyes, and heals him. It was on the Sabbath. They said, this man is not from God because he's breaking the law of the Sabbath. They were focused on all the wrong thing. How about the healing? Number three there. The healing. I love this part. So taking hold of the man. All right, this time he didn't speak to him. He didn't just touch him, say, be healed. He took hold of him. So what I was reading on in the Greek, that word in the Greek is a very strong action verb. It means he actually grabbed this man. I should have had one of the kids up here closer. Anyway, grabbed, oh, you're going to come up? Oh, come on up. All right, hurry up. Jump up here. Let's say this guy is swollen full, edema with this dropsy. And he comes up to him from behind and that's the picture. Squeezes all that out of him. Yeah. You're supposed to go, whoa. No, just kidding. Okay, thanks, Trent. Squeezes it out of him. He's healing him. Actually, what is he doing? He's doing a creative miracle of giving him, and this, I realize this doesn't say this in the verse, but when you look at it and you think about it, if he only healed and took the fluid out of him and didn't take care of the root issue, then it's going to be right back, isn't it? No, it says he healed. He took hold of the man and healed him. In other words, I believe he did a creative miracle, gave him a new heart, probably a new kidneys, and new liver. Can he do that? Can he do that? Thank you. Yeah, I hope he can. He's God. He created us to begin with. Healed him. Today the doctors use what to take the fluid out? Lasix, right? If any of you ever been on it, I haven't, but I know I hear about it, right? They use Lasix. And he sent him away. Why did he send him away? Because he wasn't invited to that dinner for any reason, again, other than to trap Jesus so the Pharisees could have something else to accuse him of. You are breaking the Sabbath. You cannot heal people on the Sabbath. I think in our minds it is just incredible that they could be so blinded that they could not rejoice in any of the four examples we're focusing on, or the other three, the miracles that they saw before their eyes, because it was violating their rule, and that's all they were concerned about. They didn't care about helping people. They were just concerned about their rules. Number four, the application. The application. Verse 5, it says, then Jesus asked them, if one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, let me say this, there are wells all over the place in Israel. That's how they got their water. So a lot of times left uncovered. It was not an uncommon thing for an animal to fall in the well, even for children to fall in the well. Some of you older ones can go back and have probably heard stories of ones, people that fell into wells because they were not covered, right? So all the more common in the land of Israel. If one of them falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? And they had nothing to say. Look at the picture here. What's he saying to them? You guys, you would do this for your own animal. Pull him out of the well if he's in there drowning, he or she. You'd do this for your own child on the Sabbath day if he's in there drowning. And here is this man before you, drowning in his own bodily fluids, Get it? And you do not want him to be healed. Wow. Now, I don't know if anybody, I know there have been some, there are some even in the congregation today that have difficulty breathing and getting your air. Now, for probably most of us, if we've never experienced that, a little hard to relate. If you've experienced it, and some of these tell me, that is a very scary thing when you cannot get your air. Even as I was thinking about this guy drowning in his own bodily fluid, and it took me back to whatever, how many years ago, I didn't look up the date, but it was when Nicholas Huber was dying. I suppose Kenny Ramona would know the year or whatever. He had ALS, Lou Gehrig's, and one of the parts often of the dying process for those people is you feel like you are drowning. That is not pleasant, knowing that that is what's coming. And it was on just a day or two before he died. He was over in the hospital in Iowa. I forget the city. We were on our way just after that, I know, to Buffalo, New York, to our church conference meetings. And Karen had asked, would I come down there? And I did. And still about makes me cry when I just think about it, as I had moments alone with just him and his wife at that time. And we were talking about this. He couldn't talk a lot, but he could a little. And I've told you this before, Pri, but he says to me, Pastor Mike, what advice do you have for me? Meaning, in dying, what advice do you have for me? Of course, I knew he knew the Lord. That was clearly covered. I said, Nicholas, I can't tell you how this is all going to feel, what they're saying. I can tell you this, keep your eyes and your thoughts on Jesus, because you are almost there, and it's going to be so much better. And it was a day or two later when he went home to heaven. So look at that. They have nothing to say to him because what? He's unmasking, so to speak, he's unmasking their hypocrisy. You would do this for your own animal. And yet not for this man here, right? Before your eyes, who's drowning in his own fluid. See, these guys, they were supposed to be leading the Jewish people to heaven. But with all their rules and laws, they were keeping their people out of heaven. How sad that is. As we know, I hope you all know, there is one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. One way. There's no other religion that will get you to heaven. There are many other religions that will keep you from heaven. False religions. And we know that from Scripture. Your last blank's there. Look, knowing the Word is important. These guys, they knew the Old Testament inside and out better than any of us today would ever know it. They had large portions of it memorized. They knew the Word. Knowing the Word is important, and it is, but living it out in our daily lives, right there, in our daily lives is most important. Showing compassion, showing mercy, showing kindness. What if God was not merciful to us, where would we be? We'd be dead. We would be dead if he was not merciful to us each and every day of our lives. The Pharisees, they put more emphasis on the rules, not on the results. We want to see God's power. Last verse here from 1 Corinthians 13:2. See, they had knowledge. Oh, they had all the knowledge. Paul said, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and have all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. So, and I'm not trying to say that we're Pharisees. I hope we're not. I don't see it. Yeah, we have to stand on God's word, and God's word has boundaries. But they were way beyond that. We'll see. It might be 2 weeks from today we're going to go on with this, because the lunch is not over here this day in this Pharisee's house. The lunch is just beginning. And it goes on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, as we look at Jesus, you are so incredible. As you walked and lived on this earth, as you taught and you healed and you delivered and you corrected and you rebuked, you did all these things. You showed mercy. You were moved with compassion on the people and healed the sick and delivered them. And so your compassion and mercy and grace is just as great today. And we ask that you move through us, through our lives, as your children. We're your body on the earth, imperfect as we are. We are the body of Christ on the earth today. Lord, as we see situations that need help and prayer and mercy and compassion, let us reach out to those in need, whether in our own midst or whether in the world and where we live and work and interact. Give us strength to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At Calvary is our closing hymn, 492. I love the words of this. It starts out, years I spent in vanity and pride. We don't want to be there, do we? Let's stand as we sing this, please. I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything, now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. Aren't you glad? I sure am. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And as a prayer for our nation, we are singing, God Bless America. Guide her and guide her through. speaks with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. You may be seated. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music today. Remember coffee hour, Christian Ed Committee meeting?